Take your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah, please. The book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah there in the Old Testament. I want to encourage you here as we look to the Word of God for our help, for our encouragement, for our needs. God's Word is able to meet every need we have and beyond. He is faithful. His Word is faithful. Today we have a message. It just lines right up. I did not plan this, but God did. Lines up right up with our homecoming. And today's message is on the dedication of the wall. The dedication of the wall. We've been preaching through Nehemiah since January. And is a culmination, this is a culmination point of a lot of battles, a lot of hard work, a lot of rejoicing. There was a lot of brokenness that happened at times. And I just am thanking the Lord that how He worked it out to where we could have this message today right on our homecoming service. Notice Nehemiah chapter 12. And we're going to be looking at verses 27 through the end of the chapter. I'm just going to read the first few verses here for the sake of time. But notice Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 27. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem, to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. And the sons of the singers gathered themselves together, both out of the plain country round about Jerusalem and from the villages of Nephthethene. Let's pray together. Father, I'm so grateful that You have given us an opportunity to look at Your Word. And Lord, I'm praying for liberty this morning, that I might be able to preach in a way that would please You, and that it would encourage and benefit the hearers. I trust that You will anoint this time, meet needs, deep needs, Lord. I pray that there would be some courses today that would be altered. Those that perhaps are going in a wrong direction, God, that they would choose to change it in the right way. I'm just asking, God, that You would do something very special for each of us today by the power of Your Spirit and Your precious Holy Word. So God, thank You again for what You're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. I praise the Lord for the opportunity to preach this message today. And I'd like to give it a title. If you're taking notes, young people, if you're taking notes, I certainly hope you will to stay focused. But the title is Great Joy Heard from Afar. Great Joy Heard from Afar. It's taken from right there in verse number 43. If you notice, it says in chapter 12, verse 43, also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem, notice this next phrase, was heard even afar off. Now get the picture here. It's a similar setting, right? We got the men, we got the women, we got the children gathered together praising the Lord. And there is something to be said about the power of joy. The power of praise. The power of being happy in the Lord. I don't know about you today, but I can testify to this. The Christians that have had the greatest impact on my life, I've been saved about 22 years, and even my great-grandmother, who I was not saved when she passed away, but I was saved about 8 years later. But I remember even about her and others, there was one distinct that I could say was common among all of them. They all had the joy of the Lord. And I believe that you, if you think back to it, the people that have impacted you the greatest for the faith and for the goal of walking with God have been people that have genuinely been happy in the Lord. Now, I'm not saying they didn't have bad days and that they just like us. There was grieving at times. There was sadness at times, of course. But their overall demeanor was the joy of the Lord. It was unmistakable. It was undeniable. There was something about them that there was a contentedness there. There was a peace there. There was a happiness that was there. And folks, do you know what that is? And I know you know. That is the Lord. Because our joy is the Lord. It's not just the things He does for us, which, praise the Lord, that's a lot, isn't it? I mean, I'm thankful that the AC's working this morning. That's a blessing from the Lord. It wasn't working when I first got here. We had a power outage. But now it's working. But what we see here is the power of joy and praise. Great joy from afar. Now, I didn't take time to read all this, but let me kind of just paint the picture for you what we have here. This is coming, of course, the wall is complete. Remember our last message, the sacrifice that people made to get back to the city? Now listen, I want to give you a little bit of parallel here. These people did make sacrifices. When Nehemiah was calling people to get back, you remember in chapter 11, hey, we're going to do a draft, if you will. 1 out of 10 families will come back to Jerusalem. Then there was a bunch of volunteers, and we noticed they made sacrifices. If you want to feel how that was, now some of you wouldn't mind this, and I get it, but it would almost be like us living out here in the suburbs or a little bit in the countryside in this area anyway, saying, all right, we need some people to move into downtown Atlanta. I'm sure all of you would be thrilled about that. Now, I know Brother Nathaniel's there in college, and we've had others there that have lived in that area, have lived downtown, but it's not necessarily the most attractive place to be, especially if you're just wanting to enjoy some peace and quiet, right? Well, these people had been out in the countryside, and they had been settled, and they had their communities, and they basically uprooted and came. And so that's all come to pass. All the ones that God has brought back to Jerusalem, they've made those sacrifices, and now they're going to have a special service, a celebration service. And old friend, let me tell you, it's not just any celebration service. They pulled all the stops. I mean, the announcement went out, said, we need all the Levites. Those were the guys that had lots of responsibilities in the temple, of course, but those were the guys that really were responsible for helping lead in worship. And they called around all the countryside, the suburbs, the towns and villages, saying, get them all and bring them here to Jerusalem. And so not only do you round all those people up, but the people that are currently there, and even the people that are going to continue living out in the countryside around Jerusalem, they're coming in. And not only that, but then they're telling everybody to bring their instruments. Oh boy, this is really going to be very, very attractive in understanding that what is going on here. This is something that is, nothing's been done like this before in a couple centuries. Everybody is coming together, and they are going to make an impact on that community. Notice what you see in verse 27. It talks about those thanksgivings and singing and cymbals, all these musical instruments. We see here in this chapter that singing is mentioned 8 times. Thanksgiving is mentioned 6 times. Rejoicing is mentioned 7 times. And musical instruments are mentioned 3 times. These people are very happy about what God has done. And not only that, but then notice what happens as they gather together. Notice one of the first things they did in verse 30. And the priest and the Levites, what is the next two words, church? They purified themselves and, what are the next three words? Purified the people and the gates and the wall. What does that tell us? That tells us just very quickly here, let's understand this. There is no happiness apart from holiness. We cannot experience the joy of the Lord, truly deep-seated, deep-rooted joy, apart from our lives being separated unto Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Levites knew that before we get into this worship service, before the instruments strike the chord, before the voices begin to lift up and join together, and we start raising our hands and we start clapping and shouting, before all that begins, let's make sure our hearts are right with God. Churches are getting away from that. It's all about just the feel good. Don't talk about sin. Don't talk about repentance and holiness. But friends, to understand the fact that the reason that I can worship the way I do, because I realize how much God has forgiven me of all my sin. And how I can come into a service like this, even after a week long of shortcomings every day, falling short, I can come in here and have my heart right with God and say, Lord, speak to me. In fact, I hope you've come this morning to say, Lord, speak. God, speak to me very personally. I need you to help me. I need you to hold me. I need you to guide me. I need you, Lord. These people understood, these leaders understood it was an important thing to be right with God. That's when Jesus said, they that worship God must worship Him in spirit. And what? So it's both. Now, there is a such thing as not having any spirit. Some people worship in truth, but there's no spirit. That's not right either. They're both to be there. I like what that song said when we were singing about when we all get to heaven. I love that song. It's a great song. And I love that phrase that talks about we will shout the victory. And I couldn't help it. Just the Lord spoke to my heart. I went over and told Brother Christian. I said, Brother, aren't you glad that we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to shout that victory? Woo! We can shout it now. Hey, I hope you and your church, and if you don't raise a hand, hey, don't feel bad. But I hope you don't ever feel bad about raising a hand for the Lord. Just pray, amen. I saw hands all over the place. Praise the Lord. We can have liberty there. Hey, clapping. Clapping is Bible. As long as we're clapping for the right reasons in church, we're clapping because we're rejoicing. It's an expression of rejoicing in the Lord. Hey, do you know what else? God gives us a way to express our joy and thanksgiving. Now, this may catch some of you off guard. I know. But do you know another way that God gives us a way to express our joy is smiling? Imagine that. Now, I just saw a lot of you smile, and I appreciate that. I believe there's something to be said about smiling. It's contagious. I don't know about you, but I mean, maybe if I'm having a really bad day, I'm just going to ignore. But most of the time, if I look at somebody out in public, whether it's in a store, you're passing by them in the aisle or something, they just give you just kind of a kind gesture there of just a kind of a quick smile. I smile back. It's just kind of a courtesy thing, right? There's something to be said about a smile that is even contagious. When we come and rejoice in the Lord, I am thankful for the way you express yourself. Did you know that you are a great help to me when I'm preaching the Word of God? You really are. I want to tell you, you participate greatly when I can be preaching the Word of God and I see your eyes, I see your head nodding and sometimes smiling and sometimes nodding. Now, that's not so encouraging. But seriously, I appreciate your engagement to the preaching because I'm telling you, I'm insecure. I don't know if you knew that about me, but I'm an insecure person. That's part of my sin nature. I wonder, boy, is something wrong with them? Or do they just have indigestion? I don't know. Sometimes I wonder, but I'm thankful that I can look out across here. And most of the time, you're engaged. You're with me. Amen, preacher. Thank you for that. I needed that. Ooh, that's convicting. Or that's comforting. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. Not that I am in the sense I have to have that, but I want to tell you, I sure appreciate it. It helps me. to know You're with me. I'm preaching God's Word, and we do that when we sing too. I'm sure Brother Mike could say the same thing, and any of you out here that are have been involved in music ministry or leading music, when people are engaged, and man, they're lifting their heart and their voice to the Lord, and you could see it, I want to tell you, there's something special about that. It's encouraging. It means something. It's an expression of joy. And God wants us to do that very thing. I think upon, as I read through this passage of Scripture, I just, again, goes back to the theme of it. These people were filled with the Lord and happiness of, God brought us through! God built the wall! We didn't do it perfectly! We wanted to give up several times. Does anybody here want to give up? Oh yeah. But they did too, but we didn't give up. Look what God's done. This wall's complete, man. We're getting ready to have a worship service. And not just any worship service, but notice what's happening here. Can I get a picture of Jerusalem back in Nehemiah's time, the wall? I don't have my clicker up here. Yeah, I do. So just a kind of a quick lesson here of what exactly happened in this passage. All right, so this is Nehemiah. They start down here. Okay, at the dung gate, basically where the waste was released. And you know, if you know Jerusalem, this is the lowest part of the wall of the city. So this is the lowest elevation here, and it goes all the way up to the temple, up by the sheep gate. So what happened in this passage is you had two big groups that converged of singers, those playing instruments, and all the people of God, and they split up in basically two big choirs. Huge! And what they did is they met down here. And what the Bible describes is Nehemiah took one group along the wall. Now this wall is huge, remember? It's not just some little wall that when we think of a wall, we think of maybe a foot wide. This was wide enough to drive cars on, okay? This was a group, a huge wall where people could walk on it easily. And one big group, Nehemiah, took up this way. The other group, Ezra, took up this way, and they would converge and they would meet right here together by the temple, and then they would enter into the temple. So that's all explained in this passage of Scripture. It's most fascinating. Why did he have them start down here in the southern part? The southern part, down by the dung gate. And why would they work up on both sides? Well, if you think about it, there are a lot of practical reasons for that. One that came to mind, I can't prove that this is my opinion, but I just want to say this. I know praise always causes me to go up. When I can get around the praises of God and people singing about God, and I can get around that, that lifts my heart. When I hear God's people lifting up and honoring Him, and these people were doing just that. They were going around the city, and there's some other practical reasons for that. But I wanted you to get the context of what's going on here. You see, they were going to express the greatness and goodness of God in their life. They were going to go along those walls, and there were some practical reasons for it. Folks, our world is surrounded by sadness. I mean, I know people can have bad days. I'm sure people have looked at me sometimes at a red light and saw my face and, boy, said, something's wrong with that man. What happened to him today? I get it. You understand, I'm being balanced here. But overall, even just walking in the airport where there's hundreds and even thousands of people, if you travel a lot, you know this better than any of us. But just watch the people's faces. Most people look sad. They look down. You look at the news, you get sad. You watch Clemson play, you get sad. You watch Florida, I'm not going there. Right, Brother Frank? Amen. But no, with all seriousness, there's a general blanket of sadness around this world. Now, yeah, they may pep it up every once in a while with a party scene. They get the right stuff in their bodies. They'll be feeling real good. They'll be feeling on top of the world good. But that's all just for a moment. And it ends up being worse than when they started. There's a general darkness and sadness around this world. And can I say this as much as dogmatically as I possibly can, folks? It is the responsibility of the child of God to breathe life into a dark world. Because we are the only ones that have the Holy Spirit living in us. We're the only ones with the capacity and with the authority and the ability to have a deep-seated joy when everything is going wrong. And I believe even in this, when we looked at that town, I mean, don't forget, you still had Tobiah and Sanballat. All those guys were still living around the town. They were still idol worshipers. They were still pagans. They were still ungodly and hated the God of the Bible. They were surrounded by that. But they're getting ready to have just a praise service like you have never seen. And remember, this is all resulting just a few days before, a few weeks before, they had revival. There was preaching and reading of Scripture. There was confession of sin and brokenness of sin and repentance and restoration. It's been a revival. This just didn't spark out of nowhere. There has been a move of God, and God has completed the wall, and it's simply amazing. I think upon this, some of the most popular people in the world are the saddest people in the world. Somebody asked, some of you young people may even not know who this is, but someone asked, I read an article, Elvis Presley, when at his time or during his decades of time, he was the most popular guy probably in the world, I know in America. But at the end of his life, it's actually 6 weeks before he died, for those of you that believe he really died. At the end of his life, he was asked. He didn't know it was the end of his life. But he said, you said at the beginning of your life, Elvis, when you first started playing music, that you wanted to be rich, famous, and happy. And the question was this, are you happy? His response, I'm as lonely as a man can be. I'm as lonely as a man can be. You go through the ages and you can speak of the celebrities. You know, kids would look at them like they had it all. You can look at the Taylor Swifts and you can look at the superstars of the sports and you can look at them and they may look like they have some happiness. It's all surface, artificial. I think of some of the, when I was, I'm dating myself, but when I was in high school, one of the most popular rock stars of that time was Kurt Cobain. And everybody just was enthralled. My generation, my age group was enthralled with that. And then this Kurt Cobain takes his life, shoots himself in the head. Everybody thought, that's the life, man. That's where you're going to find happiness. Listen to that music. That's where you'll find your joy. I want to tell you, that is exactly what is a picture of what the world calls happiness and joy. And it leads to depression. It leads to just darkness. And I could give many, many other examples. Happiness is, as the children's song says, happiness is to know the Savior, living a life within His favor, having a change in my behavior. Happiness is the Lord. Hey, I just want you to participate with me here just for a moment. We're going to praise the Lord together. Y'all ready? All right, so this side's going to be a choir. And this side's going to be a choir. Hey, you didn't know you was going to be in the choir today, did you? That's all right. It's going to be good. Brother Mike, some of you know this song, some of you don't, but it's called This Is the Day. And Brother Mike's going to give instruction. I want you both choirs to sing out almost like if you were on that wall today with Nehemiah and Ezra, and you're marching on that wall. You got the tent and the Sanballats and the Tobias looking at you. You got the music playing. Your joy is being heard afar off. So let's sound out to the Lord. All right. Why don't you go ahead and stand? Let's stand. Let's do it.
This side over here, we're going to start out, this is the day. You're going to repeat, this is the day. So whatever this side sings, you guys sing, will come together on the chorus. So let's try that. Here we go. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. We will rejoice. We will and be glad in it, and be glad in it. Everybody together. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let's try that one more time, all right? This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice, we will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Amen. Give yourself a pat on the back. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's exactly right. Thank you, Brother Mike. They were singing out together, going all the way to the point of getting ready to go into the temple. And can you imagine? I love this. I just love to envision this. Why, what was the purpose of this dedication service? Number one, it was to recognize the Lord's great work. The Lord's doing a work here at Crooked Creek Baptist. He has been for 221 years. And I continue to see Him doing it for another 220 if He tarries His coming. Hey, He's doing a work in your life. I look across this room and I see how God has worked in your life over the past year, over the past 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years. God's been doing a great work, hasn't He? You see, we need to celebrate God's doing a work in our lives. Psalm 118:23 says, this is the Lord's doing and it is marvelous in our eyes. But you know, another reason it was because to remind God's people that it was possible of what is possible when our lives are dedicated to the Lord. I got to show you this in closing. Go over to chapter 2 of Nehemiah. They were out singing on this wall, these big choirs led by these men of God, singing to the glory of God. Notice chapter 2. And I want to show you the crowd that very well could have been watching from afar. Notice chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. After they got news that they're going to start working on the wall, notice what the enemies of God said. Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, and now Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem. Excuse me, this is the message to the people, getting them fired up to do it, and I'm going to show you the response here in a minute. And it says, and we be no more a reproach. So he's saying, we don't want to be a reproach, we want to be a testimony of what God has done. And notice verse 18. Then I told them of the hand of my God was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, notice what all the people said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Do you see what he's got the whole people on board? Now notice with me at chapter 4. Notice verse 1. He's got everybody on board. Doesn't mean everybody's perfect because there's still struggles. But he's got a unified front of the people of God. But notice the response of the enemy. Chapter 4. Now these are the people that are viewing from afar. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, Nehemiah says, and turn their reproach upon their own head and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. Can you imagine, church? This is the group that was watching the choirs walk the wall. They're thinking, what? Some of them, I'm sure, got their heads tucked down. Some of them are making excuses why they got to go wash their hair. Some of them, I don't know, some of them are just making an excuse to get out so they don't have to listen to this chorus and this choir of this music, this blessed exaltation of God Almighty. They're viewing the same ones that mocked. God says, hey, do not underestimate my power of what I am doing. You see, folks, our praise is a testimony to a lost world. It's contagious. It's influential. It makes a difference. And I could say this, I believe praise is a true spiritual strategy for battle. I believe that. Jehoshaphat believed that. When he was broken before the Ammonites were going to come in and attack, and they didn't know what exactly was going to do, God told him, look, I got this. You just start praising me and watch me work. And that's what they did. They fasted, they prayed, and then they sent forth the choir. They sent forth the choir to praise the Lord. And I'm telling you, it's a testimony to this world. But you see, the enemies of God need to know that God is on the throne. David even prayed that. He said in Psalm 40, verse 14, let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Psalm 44, 7 says this, but thou hast saved us from our enemies and hast put them to shame that hated us. You see, the theme right here is that we sing unto the Lord because we have confidence in Him that He is working and He is on the throne and He does got a plan for my life. I tell you, we just got to be right with God to experience this joy. And I hope everybody in this room this morning would just determine, God, You know where I'm at. I want to grow in grace. I don't want to be in any kind of stronghold in my life. I want to be able to praise You sincerely. This dark world needs me because You're in me. And I want to be a light and an example. Even when the enemy mocks, even when they ridicule, even when they deceive. God, I want to stay faithful. And one day You'll be able to sing what we're all going to be singing together, but especially those Jewish people that I'll even talk more about next week. God has not forgotten about His people. The elect people of God are the Jewish people. And one day, the Bible says in Isaiah 51, there's a song there. You may know it. I'm going to try to sing it. It's a song that speaks of the future final victory. It's found in Isaiah 51, verse 11. It goes like this. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sadness shall flee away. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. Hey, I'm telling you, that's our song. That's our song. There's going to be final victory one day, but even now, we can walk, and as the redeemed of the Lord, we can sing with everlasting joy. And I hope you will today, friend. Go out and let this dark world see a bright light, brethren. I don't care who's president, vice president. I don't care who's governor. I don't care whose team wins, whose team doesn't. I want to tell you there's a place out there in this world that needs Christians with the light of Christ. And I'm thankful that you are going to be the one that God uses. And I thank you for that. Let's pray.